Hello.
What episode is this?
It's season 2, episode 3, I think. We've only done two other episodes.
And halfway through the year.
Yeah. We've all been busy this year.
We've been busy. Yeah. Everybody's been so...
I know so the algorithms busy. Don't care that we've been busy, but we've been
they
busy.
Don't care.
Yeah. I don't think
they
want us. We're not big.
The algorithm yeah. wants us to pump out content like every day.
I know.
Yeah. But we need or to just be on that TikTok. We need just more get clickbait. On that TikTok.
Yeah, I gotta get back on TikTok.
I can put clickbait in.
Yeah, clickbaity stuff does not hurt. Yeah, I mean, I use that like Reel Maker. I just haven't used it in a while. I've been so busy with school.
Let's clickbait your energy drink.
Oh yeah. This episode is sponsored by Ghost
Merica
Energy.
Pop.
It's Merica Pop flavor.
Is that really the name of it?
Yeah, yep. Dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
1,000 milligrams of Kimnit pure carotene, 200 milligrams of natural caffeine. There's a bunch of stuff in here that could probably kill you.
Probably.
But it's delicious, and natural caffeine for me now is not working. So I need Ghost Energy to really up my
game. To stay alive.
Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's very American, very... 4th of July looking. I haven't had one of those like popsicles in a long time. Like the red, white, and blue ones.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah. It's like.
And James, you said it tastes like the red, white, and blue popsicle mixed together.
Yeah. So if you melted. Take, you know, as a kid, right, you put the whole thing in your mouth. At least this is what I do. Put the whole thing in your mouth, let it melt, and then twirl it around. That's what it would taste
so
like.
And get a massive, so there's choking hazards brain on everything. Right? let's start off with America. There's been some records set, some things done. Corvette is doing things.
Oh,
well, Corvette dethroned the GTD.
What was the ring time? Six minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah, it's 49. That's insane.
Let's see.
If you've ever driven the Nürburgring, that's insane.
I've always wanted to drive the Nürburgring. I've seen a lot of footage of it. People for years just try to hit 8 themselves. Impossible.
I granny drove the Nürburgring because I was nervous.
How long did it take you? Like 15 minutes?
I don't know.
Oh, you just didn't check?
Didn't check.
Jeremy was just there for the memes.
Yeah.
That way...
Well, you survived, right?
I survived. I didn't crash. I got a fantastic picture of the car and the carousel.
Yes, 01X... 649.275.
It's like 20 kilometers long.
Yeah, it's a long track. It's 14 miles.
Huge elevation changes.
Massive elevation changes.
Yeah.
Huge, like real, and long straights too. People are hitting, 200
You've
got
to have a stomach of steel, I think, to be able to do it.
I'd get car sick, I think.
Absolutely.
After a while. Sick, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe not as the driver. I mean, if you're so focused.
What tires did the ZR1 drive on?
Ooh, that's a good...
Was it on cups or was it on like a because I feel like there's a little bit of cheating going on nowadays where like people are saying, oh, we hold the manufacturer's production record. I'm like, but what tires did you use? Like Trofeo XXX, you know.
They say it was equipped with Michelin Pilot Sport Cup 2 R's.
Okay.
That's the pretty standard
you can,
tire.
A consumer can buy them.
Yeah. With the customer wheel with the carbon fiber wheels as well.
And the rears on a ZR1
probably like
CA-01.
345 probably.
Yeah. I think they're actually might be bigger. It's 345.
Did you say it was pretty cool? Jim Farley went on Twitter X something like that and like congratulated him and said game on.
Are you serious?
345.
He's throwing down now. I think we're gonna see a new GTD or something
probably,
coming.
Well, because when they originally
how fast was the GTD?
I'm gonna get all the Nürburgring lap times really quick.
Because I feel like the GTD had it for like a hot second.
Yeah.
And then the ZR1 came out.
Yeah.
The internet.
Just for people's references, the ZR1 is
ZR1X. Let's be specific.
ZR1X.
Yeah. So that was the difference.
Yeah.
So,
what are the specs?
So the ZR1X is 1200 something odd horsepower
V8 twin turbo. There's no electric assist, right?
There is. That's why it's the ZR1X.
It's got the E-Ray's front axle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The normal ZR1 is 1000 and like I think 64 horsepower, something of that nature.
But this is not the Zora though.
No. Well, there is no Zora. Everybody hold on. Let me clear this up. So the Zora, and I can share this because I'm long removed from General Motors, but the Zora was just the project name for the C8 when it was being built.
Because it was Zora's dream, original intent to make the Corvette a mid-engine car.
Right. Yep. So, you know, they used that as like the internal project name for the car for a really long time. And they always hint at that there will be more iterations of the Corvette that may eventually use this name, but they haven't put it on anything. So the ZR1 came out, sometime last year. And then shortly after it, this year, almost like a shadow drop, they just were like, here's the ZR1X. You know, you're just like, surprise. Oh, wow.
That's so wild.
But it was so easy to do because, you know, we got the C8, then we got the C8 E-Ray, so they made it all good.
The front axle is already set up for it.
Right. And for a long time, the C8 E-Ray was the fastest accelerating Corvette, you know, and really the fastest, it was a really fast accelerating car what it was. And then, then we got the ZR1, and the ZR1 as a rear-wheel drive car is like one of the fastest accelerating rear-wheel drive cars. You know, I watched Jason Kamisa's like Icons video, or it was Icons where he did
Drag Race.
No, it was a nicer production. It wasn't just like a singular drag race. So he did it for the ZR1.
Icons or Revelations?
I think it might have been Icons. Whichever one he does at the racetrack, because Revelations I feel like aren't always at the racetrack.
I thought that was Drag Race. Whatever.
But it was more than just like they did a drag race, but it wasn't just like the drag race video. But it was all about the ZR1 and like he went through like the whole history or whatever. But they drag race a normal ZR1 against SF90, which is also 1,000 horsepower.
Right. It just showed that GM could kick all these.
Right, and then also the new Revolto.
Not bias. You know. Not, you know, like America versus all the European European trash out there. Or
right.
Whatever.
But no, actual proper cars that cost, you know, almost six times as much.
This is a rant. Mm-hmm. This is my problem with Jason. Is just like, look, America can build this car for this price compared to all this expensive stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, Jason, like, you have to think about all the prestige and the history behind, you know, Ferrari, Lamborghini.
I mean,
well,
we all know that.
What about the history and prestige behind Corvette?
There is history. And he went through a lot of history. There was a lot of history and prestige.
The original ZR1, right?
Yeah.
The C4 the Corvette.
European motor, maybe? Or
Lotus. Derived European V8, 48.
You know what?
No, the Europeans do very well.
Those are still, I know we're not influencers because we have like 18 subscribers, but the original ZR1 is still a fantastic bargain in my opinion.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And a car that I would love to own.
200 mile an hour car, you know.
They're like 30 grand ish for a decent one.
The C4 for a long time just was not my cup of tea. The C4 is like very boxy. It's kind of funny looking.
As all cars were in the 80s.
Yeah.
But you know what? The C4 and even like the Fox Body Mustangs they're finally coming into their own and seeing their day.
Oh no, the Fox Body Mustangs have been seeing their day ever since. Everybody always likes to blame Matt Farah for his like Fox Body build and why they're all super expensive now. I don't know if that was the real reason.
I think for a hot second it was, and then people realized that Fox Bodies were complete shit boxes, and then went back to them being.
You know,
cheap.
As a kid, I always kind of thought Fox Bodies were complete shit boxes.
Yeah,
they were.
But you look at them.
No, but Ford built them as shit boxes because
they had the Windsor. But now they were like very plasticky. They just, you know.
But now they're cool.
They're very cool. And everybody wants one.
Radwood ready.
You have to pay
Radwood
a premium for. There was a lot of them at Radwood. We'll talk about that. So then after all of the iterations of the ZR1, we got the ZR1X, and they took that to the Nürburgring and did the Nürburgring lap time. The Mustang GTD, however, when they did their first one,
complete
I want to say that the
failure.
The conditions weren't really great. And then they went back and did it again, and then they were able to get this low time. And you know, everybody on the internet, all the kids and stuff,
still can't make a Mustang turn.
Can't even beat
a Nürburgring record.
So the number one car is AMG One. Then shortly behind it,
the AMG One doesn't. It's like F1 car.
It's like a Le Mans prototype. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Then right after that is the GT2 RS MR. So just
not even a real car.
It is a real car.
Manti Racing Kit.
Well, like, yeah. So it's like it's not a production.
It has like $100,000 worth of aero on it.
Yes. So it's doing a lot more.
So So yeah, what is a GT2 RS MR? 349 grand, something like
no,
that?
No, that's just a normal GT2 RS.
Yeah. Oh, so
that's like so that's not the MR stuff on it.
So right. Imagine, I think it's got more power, right? No, it's got the same power.
I don't think
it's
they upped the power. I think it's all aero.
And how much is the ZR1X?
I don't know. I don't know what the MSRP. Let me hit the
ZR1.
They're like 200, aren't they?
ZR1's at least 160 or 170, right? Yeah. And then the X is probably just another like 20 grand, probably.
MSRP. I'm pretty sure they released MSRP on these things. 190 to 200
for ZR1X.
Yeah. Not a lot of bang for your buck. That's a lot of bang for your buck.
Jason Camisa would say the same thing, too.
I mean,
a lot of bang for your buck. In any case,
GTT sucks.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think it failed.
It hasn't been out that long yet.
It failed. It's cool because of like the suspension that you can see in the back.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah, I mean,
I had, you know, honestly, Miles, I really had high hopes for the GTD.
I did too. I still want one.
If you happen upon this
little insignificant podcast, I'll take one. We would love
to try one, drive one.
We're all experienced drivers.
Well, I mean, I've crashed a Mustang before.
I have not crashed a Mustang. I didn't crash my Mustang when I had it.
I can't say that I've ever driven a Mustang.
Well, me and James have both owned one. So you need to join the club,
Jeremy. Think about the math. -1 +1 = net 0.
Net 0.
We're net zero. We need one more Mustang in our life. I think the GTD is. I think it'll be like one of those we look back in time and was like, oh yeah, that was actually pretty great. The fact that everything is very electric, everything's very hybridized, you know, there's only a handful of automakers that are still doing this. And the fact that they did it and they were like, here you go.
That's a good point. There's no electric axles in a GTD, is there?
No, nothing. It's fully, right. And that's a big difference. You got to really think.
That's a big difference.
You have to think about what the GTD is doing. So like, let me go back to the time. So the GTD time
Only they added an electric axle to it, it could probably beat the ZR1.
Right. So you have to think about this. So the GTD is at a 652 and that's about a 4 second time difference. So it's 652.7. 07. No. So almost a 652 flat. The Corvette is, as one would say, perfectly set up because all of the weight when you're accelerating is over the rear wheels. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of balance happening here, mm-hmm. right?
You need that for Nürburgring.
Yeah. Right. It's the mid-engine is ideal. The mm-hmm. Mustang is still very unideal. You know, it's kind of what the last ZR1 was, where it's like a lot of power up front.
Yeah, how did they make it around the track without, you know, flipping end for end? Like, Mustangs leaving cars and coffee.
I know. Good drivers.
Big, huge front tires.
Yeah.
Massive front tires.
Yeah, probably like a 315 on the front.
Think it has at least 315s or 305s in the front.
Right. So a lot of front grip. But it's also, they did what they could to balance it because I believe it is also a transaxle car as well.
Right. Transaxle. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's about the only really big thing that it has going for it as far as weight distribution. But a lot of that weight is still up front,
mm-hmm.
you know, so in that sense, the fact that a front engine car was able to set such a time, you know, in the midst of all of these mid-engine, rear-engine
cars,
I think you still have to think about that it did.
But what about the Mercedes-Benz AMG, not the one.
It's the Black Series. The Black Series is actually number 3 on this list. Oh. So the Black Series makes, I think, about the same amount of power as the Mustang. It's probably like that 700-800 mark.
Yeah, 700.
The only difference is the twin turbo V8 and the Mustang is a supercharged V8. The only thing I will say about the AMG GTR is that the one thing that I haven't seen the engine bay of a Mustang GTD, and Mustangs they're not egregious towards this, but the AMG GT is a front mid-engined sports car.
And transaxle.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, is it transaxle?
I think so.
Okay. So what that car is doing is that all of the weight is in the middle.
Yeah.
Because it has almost long split.
It's almost 50-50.
Right. Because it's very long hood. You're sitting just about on top of the rear wheels.
Right.
You know, so there's still a lot of weight in where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fighting against itself in the traditional.
I feel like the Nürburgring favors cars that are rear bias. Like,
yeah.
Weight
definitely.
Distribution wise.
Like, well, because like, because
you're getting a lot of like, you need speed out of these corners,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there are still some pretty low speed corners mm-hmm. in Nürburgring.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, some of those really like high speed sweepers mm-hmm. from a stability standpoint mm-hmm. still favors like mid engine or whatever.
Yeah, and you want weight and downforce, which all of these cars on this list have crazy aero, yeah. Including like I think the only car on
I'm
this
just,
list.
I'm just that, trying to think where GTD, like which part of Nürburgring.
Where
GTD
would excel at?
Where it fell at, actually. Mm. I feel like because of the supercharger, maybe it, like, it petered out a little bit.
That,
or maybe during the time of the ring, it actually might have heat-soaked a little bit. Maybe. Lost power maybe during right. the time.
Because that's always a problem with top-mount superchargers, mm-hmm. is just heat. Also, just even with all of that front tire at the front, because, of course, it's not at the back.
Could have understeered.
Understeer. I'm thinking with all the weight at the front, over time, maybe it began to understeer. And you're fighting. Like, I haven't seen the onboard video for that car, but I've seen other onboard videos. They're not, you know, it's not
delicate.
But
no.
Did it really fall down?
No, it didn't. It's
4 seconds slower. It's only 4 seconds slower. The Corvette
with, so we really have to think. E-axle. We're just trying to figure out where the 4 seconds was lost.
Well, it doesn't have an e-axle.
It doesn't have. That's
the acceleration out
or
the
all-wheel drive in the sense, right? So the Corvette is able to pull itself out of a corner a lot quicker than the GTD would be able
grabbing.
To. So like it's what little bit of grip that it has at the front because all of the weight is transitioned to the rear on acceleration is gripping that.
Yeah.
But then also it has all the grip at the rear to push itself out of the corner anyway because I'm now accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to think about both of those factors. The Mustang GTD didn't have that. You know, so a lot of that 4 seconds is where that was lost. I'm assuming, you know, I'm no professional driver, but that makes the most sense to me, you know? So, and then other cars on this list, you know, so after the ZR1X, we have the GT3 RS. Now, this is a base GT3 RS, no nothing, just pure by itself, no MR. It was a 649.
I can imagine they make the Manti Racing kit for the GT3 RS, and it's going to do like a 5 minute flat.
Have you seen it? The Manti Racing kit on GT3 RS?
No.
That's like this huge, like, middle thin.
Oh, for like stability or
I
whatever?
I guess. I'm no aerodynamicist. I know how the math works.
You know what it is? It's like Mario Kart where it like has a sail. Like it flicks out a sail and it just starts floating.
Flying over the track.
And it drops down.
Oh my god. Yes. I love me some Mario Kart. But yeah, so then after that we have the normal core. We have a Aventador.
For anybody that's listening to this or watching this, the Manti Racing Kit is the largest waste of money that you could buy on your car. It does not increase the value of your car. It looks so stupid with that aero blade on the rear wheel. It looks like a cartoon.
Yeah, I think it's purely...
Especially on like 992s. Maybe on like a 991.2
mm-hmm.
or a 991.2 GT3S with the mm-hmm. aero blade on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool, but... Like on the 992, it just looks so comical. I don't know.
We're just talking about the people in the Bay Area who have it, and we show up to cars and coffee.
There's a few people. I'm not going to name names, but there's somebody with a jade green GT3 RS.
Yeah,
it's so dumb looking. I'm so sorry, like that you bought that and waste that money. Because one is it's going to depreciate because people know it's tracked. Right, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna buy that car for like 30% off.
Yeah, because I'm like,
no problem.
You were.
I'm gonna call Porsche Fremont, and they're like, no, the price is the price. And I'm like, look, I know that car's tracked. I know it's got a bunch of fucking stupid shit on it. I'm buying that car for 30% off. They're like, yeah, you're right, because nobody else is in the market for that stupid thing.
So there's only one Lamborghini on the list.
There is SV.
Yeah, SVJ.
SVJ.
With all the where
the car's
Lamborghini's
a shit box.
No, it's not.
Complete shit box.
I think the SVJ is pretty cool.
I think the only reason why I was able to do it was because of the aero. As active aero.
Yeah. ALA.
Like, in the front.
I think that's what Lamborghini calls their fancy system.
Aero like a don dolce.
We saw a original Ferrari 288 GTO.
Sick.
At Alice's this morning.
At Alice's this morning?
Yes.
Yeah. The dude said,
I'll show you pictures. Yeah,
wow. The dude had owned it for, I think he said 10 years.
He looked like a guy named Dino with a black.
But he wasn't Italian,
jacket.
Though.
He wasn't Italian. Accent. He was like kind of like, he had a, like a Middle Eastern accent.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Middle Eastern, like almost British. It was very weird mix.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Interesting.
Sure. I remember the days when the Viper was on the Nürburgring.
I didn't take any pictures of the front of it. I'm so stupid.
Oh, it's nice.
I don't know if it's real, though. Because you could take a Mondial, right? You could take a... You could take a 308.
That looked pretty
blow
real.
It out in the back and put a, I mean, I guess it is.
That motor, replicate that motor?
Yeah.
No thanks.
V8 twin turbo. Like, there was like some, the inlets for the turbos were cast.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aluminum.
Mm.
Really weird.
But
there's
anyway,
a lot of weird cast stuff.
American cars do American things. Now let's talk about some old cars. Me and Jeremy went to Radwood.
So what's Radwood?
Radwood is
it's the very best of automotive greatness from 1980 to 1999.
It's a car show. It is a car show. Radwood happens.
But people dress up too,
it
right?
It started in Sonoma, I believe.
Yeah.
But there's Radwoods
as,
all over the country.
But I feel like,
yeah, they do them
everywhere.
But
I feel like they started Radwood as like a joke. Like as
really?
A, as an anti-Monterey Car Week thing.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't heard this one.
From the very early beginnings of like, hey, this is just something that our friends would put on.
I can see that.
We'll dress up like we're from the 90s.
But that's what makes it so great. Everybody dresses up. They play the part. You see cars out there that like you would never see at a car show. It's almost like a joke, but it's like... I grew up riding in so many of these cars.
Yeah,
but
like a Buick Roadmaster or whatever, right?
Yeah,
or
they had an Oldsmobile Silhouette, you know, the Dustbuster shape.
Oh, my God. I love
like,
that car.
When was the last time you saw one of those? They're all in the junkyard now, except
junkyard.
The one that was at Radwood.
Yeah, all of Radwood is literally beyond the grave. It is the resurrection.
Then you, but it's good, though.
It's great.
There was a Delta Integrale there.
I
so
love
you
that.
See
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's Radwood. I feel like Radwood brings out the best of what was forgotten. And even just
preserving what was forgotten.
I really like some of the American cars that you see at Radwood. Like one of my favorites there, it was a Chevy Turbo Sprint. And
yes.
it was a little box.
Chevy Turbo
Sprint. The Turbo
and
Sprint.
I don't think they
like my grandparents and their friends used to get those to tow behind their motorhomes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So a Turbo Sprint
or maybe the non-Turbo Sprint.
It was a 1 liter It was a 1 liter turbocharged four cylinder that made 70 horsepower.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
one of those like GM K cars.
Yeah, pretty
like
much.
Like Kia.
Yeah. And
Daewoo.
It was probably
ones.
Like a Daewoo or Daihatsu design that they.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chevy Turbo Sprint 19. Oh my God.
No, it was a 1 liter three cylinder engine.
Yeah.
Turbo. So
it's a rebadged
Did
Suzuki
you see the,
Swift.
Oh, it was a Suzuki Swift.
There was a Metro track car there. Oh, that's right. The Turbo Sprint was a Suzuki Swift.
Suzuki, yeah, Swift, yeah.
Yeah.
I love a Suzuki Swift.
Or Daewoo. You know, the thing, I walked around thinking about Radwood and thinking about going to, like, American car shows or British car shows with my dad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when everybody was out there with their, you know, Bel Airs and stuff from the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all growing up with like 90s Civics and stuff.
Right.
And like all the boomers are like, well, those are never going to be collectible like these.
And
are.
Now they are.
And here we are.
Yeah. I mean, a clean Civic hatch from that era is doing numbers. Any Honda from that era is doing numbers.
What specific Honda though? Any or like a
I'm not good with the
LX.
Letters. No,
it was the EK generation. Was that like the
I like the patchback one, the EG, the egg one. That's my favorite.
EG, no,
that's my favorite.
EKs are
EK was EK 98 to. Or
I think
96.
That was late 90s.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
so
EK was like 95 to like 99.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So clearly, we're not up on our.
Oh, dude, I'm so fucking good, dog.
No, we're
oh
not.
God.
We're not Honda people, but I know that the hatches are hot.
But I mean, when I was a kid, that's what I drove.
Right, and then I mean, the joke is that what is it? The Fast and Furious. Don't forget the Hector's running
three spoon motors.
Three spoon motors. Three. Every time I go on Facebook, I see it like posted under any car post. Somebody really like okay, but in more important news, don't forget the Hector's running three. Three spoon engine Honda Civics, and it's so funny.
Miles, did you see the Citroen
Race
in the Radwood Royalty area? That was it was like an XM that was gray.
Yeah,
it had the aluminum case on the passenger seat with the handcuff.
Yeah.
Do you know the reference there?
No, I was trying to figure it out.
The movie Ronin.
That's what. Okay,
it's
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
What's in the case?
Mm-hmm.
The
oh,
case
the
was
Ronin
on the
car?
Passenger seat. The guy that owns that car, his name is Rich.
Okay.
He. lives over in like North Oakland and apparently has a warehouse in West Oakland with like 30 cars that are all really quirky like that. Oh, we stood and talked to the guy for a half an hour. He was super cool.
Dude, I loved it. Would check out if yeah, he, I think opens, if he it up, opens
it up. We'll
his
definitely
his Instagram, I think, is like Archen.
Okay.
R-C-H-E-N. Definitely go check it out.
And or something similar to that. Reference back to the Fast and Furious, the first movie where Hector talks about.
No, it wasn't Hector.
No, it was Paul.
Yeah,
it was
think,
Paul Walker's character.
I think so.
What was it? Was Paul Walker's character?
I was thinking it was Brian O'Connor.
Brian O'Connor. Don't let this distract you from the fact that Hector is going to be running three Honda Civics with Spoon engines. Spoon was a high performance Honda tuner from Japan at the time. On top of that, he just went into Harry's. Harry's was this like parts provider or whatever. Mm. He was in trouble with the FBI. That's why he was colluding with Paul Walker's character. Mm. And bought three T66 turbos with NOS, nitrous oxide, and a Motec exhaust system. All that stuff doesn't make any freaking sense whatsoever.
I mean, it kind of does.
Did Motec make an exhaust system?
Exhaust, or at least that's not what they're known for. Motec is really known for the ECUs, right? And it's an Australian company.
ECUs, right?
So, yeah.
Motec's Australian?
Let me fact check that, but I'm pretty sure it's an Australian company. No.
Nitrous oxide.
It was cool, though. I had some colleagues there from work. One guy has a M3 lightweight, E36 M3 lightweight.
Real one.
Oh, that one was his.
Yeah.
Wow. What year? 94? 95. Yep. Well, they only made it for 1 year, though, right?
I think so.
For a few years? Yeah, 1 year.
Another colleague from work with a W140 500 SEL just like mine.
Australia. I'm not crazy. It is Australia. An Australian company.
Nice.
In teal. Like 1992 teal.
Oh my! Absolutely. How's the paint? What's the paint like on
it? It's brand new. The car was stored for 20 years.
Oh my god!
So he paid $1,000 for it. He had to replace the engine because it had a blown head gasket, and we pulled it apart. It was all pitted and messed up.
Did you see the little green thing from Western Germany? I forget what it was called.
The Trabant.
The Trabant, yeah, and it's Western Germany, right?
Wait, show me pictures.
Eastern Germany.
Yeah. What's Trabant?
So
I've never heard of this car before.
It's like composite body. It's made out of
body? Is it made out of balsa wood?
It's like paper mache.
Yeah, it pretty much is. So this was like...
Two-stroke?
And it was in this color. So this is a...
Oh my god, a shit box.
So the couple sent us a story about it. And they were talking about how like the rest of Germany was getting Porsches, BMWs, and Mercedes. While
Germany.
They had communists. You know, was it more communist or socialist? I guess it would have been
communist,
right. They had the people's car. They had, like, it worked. And this was, like, the little thing. And she was telling us, she was, like, on a good day, you know, 65 miles an hour on the highway.
If
she was
lucky.
Right, to do 70, she was, like, 70, 75. It's, like, it's not
pushing
happy.
It.
They're
two-strokes.
Yeah, it's a little lawnmower.
I didn't pay attention to the rear end, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have a California. Oh, wait, what? No, it doesn't have. Can't have a California license plate. How would you smog it?
They bought it from somebody in Texas, so it might be a historical vehicle if it's old enough.
Yeah, all the historical. Now they have the Jay Leno law where.
But
did it pass?
I don't think it's passed yet.
It hasn't passed yet. Oh. But they were talking about it.
No, and it's getting diluted down.
Oh, boo!
Boo!
Yeah.
Boo. Jay Leno was driving his GTD.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
I don't know if it was his or
let Jay Leno drive the GTD on Nürburgring and see what happens.
He
can flip it.
We don't know. We don't know. Yeah, I don't know if Jay Leno's a good driver.
You know, he see him driving like brass era cars.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of his.
He would drive fast on Angel's Crest, though.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's crashed.
Matt Barrett would probably be flying in that thing on Angel's Crest. Can't wait to see that. But yeah, no, Rabble was a really nice show. What were some other notable cars? The Nissan Patrol when
there
you first
was a,
walked in.
There was a Daytona Violet 850 CSI.
There was a Daytona Violet 850 CSI owned by somebody that
whose car
know.
Was that?
It made it out of the garage.
For once. Yeah.
Was it running?
Yeah, I drove it there.
Our 8 subscribers, please bully Jeremy into driving his car more often.
Was there any rewards given out, like best of show?
Oh, yeah. How did the awards go? I left a little early.
I hightailed it to my car when they started the awards, and as soon as the gate opened, me and the guy with the AZ1 next to me, we got out of there I mean.
Well, my one of my buddies, Roy, his Defender won an award.
Oh seriously?
Yeah, that green one at the front. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Was it a Land Rover Defender?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Most of those are just like rusty shit boxes.
No, his is really good condition. Really nice condition. He also has a RS5. That's in like pristine condition. Ooh. As well. I mean, RS5, RS4, RS4.
You know what would have been a good Radwood car, but I think it might have, like, because it's only up to 99.
Yep.
That the RS4 Avant.
Oh, Avant, yeah.
From Europe.
Well, you could, no, you could get one could of the... Could you bring that in? The early ones, the pre-2000 ones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that would have been like...
With the wheels, you know what I'm talking about? With those cool little like square wheels?
I don't think they sold those here, right?
I don't think they did.
But if they sold them in Europe, yeah, sure.
But people were importing the RS2s.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah.
I think there was an RS2 really, there.
I've never driven one. I've always wanted to drive one.
Yeah.
Always wanted to drive one.
Excuse me. I've got a buddy of mine's dad this has an been... RS2.
Yeah.
And he gives him shit for it. Same as Miles giving me shit about getting the 850 out of the garage. The RS2 never leaves.
Are you serious? I feel like the RS2 is like the perfect car to like leave the garage. Is it just too precious or just like...
He lives in the UK. Oh. Maybe he doesn't want it to get wet and rusty. I don't know.
Yeah, it rains, it pours in the UK.
I feel like RS2 is like the ultimate car just to beat on, right? It's designed.
I think this one's pristine.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
That's a problem.
Kind of hard to want to beat on a car.
It's really funny because I was watching like Doug's podcast and he was talking about how the RS2 wasn't his favorite car to own.
This is a shitbox.
I love Doug. I've been watching Doug's podcast.
Doug sold out.
No, Doug, he didn't sell out.
Doug, he did sold. He sold a private equity.
Cars he did. Business. He did. But like Doug as a person,
laughing to the bank.
He's not a sellout. I don't feel like he's like a sellout kind of person. He's just really funny. He's so funny to watch.
He tried to make people buy Kia Stingers.
They were good cars.
What's wrong with the Kia Stinger?
The Kia Stinger.
It's like V6 twin turbo.
Yes.
Rear wheel drive.
It's like a Kia version of the Hyundai Genesis.
Have you seen the videos or like the main, like and to get to the water, ton of power out to of get them. To the water pump on that car, they literally had to take apart the whole front end. Like literally rip. They have to rip the
but
whole
thing. But isn't that like any other Volkswagen car, or Audi ever?
Or any Ford.
But it's like everything. Like the turbos go. Fusion. The turbos blow up.
What?
It's got gasket issues.
Well, the Kia's come with 100,000 miles, 10-year engine warranty. So I'd be driving
bumper to bumper. Bumper
driving the wheels off of that Kia Stinger. No, I remember when the Kia Stinger first came out. I was totally in love with that car, and I was so happy that Kia was...
Good looking car.
Yeah.
It was at the time. I think it still is.
I think you can still buy them, can't you?
Oh, yeah. I feel like the Kia Stinger will be the next, if Radwood continues at the rate that it's going.
Yeah.
Kia Stinger will be the next, like, Radwood car.
Yeah, what's the next era of, you know, quote-unquote Radwood cars?
All the Kias.
all the
Kias. Every single Kia Hyundai product.
The Hyundai...
Genesis Coupe?
The first Genesis Coupe.
The first Genesis Coupe. The Hyundai Tiburon.
The Tiburon.
Oh, yeah. The Tiburon. Some of the Tiburons are old enough for Radwood now.
They are. The first ones.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the ugly ones.
They're really bad Tiburons.
The really ugly ones.
What, the 98 then, I guess, would be the year?
They're really...
Jesus. Those were from...
When all of the Hyundais look like clay models, they look like just little clay Play-Doh cars.
Can I just say something? Everybody that drove a Hyundai Tiburon, like especially the first-gen ones, they all have DUIs.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That does kind of look like a DUI.
Just like everybody that owned a Pontiac Grand Prix... Like GP, they all have DUIs.
Oh my God. Like, if we were.
That'd be a Radwood car, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, but absolutely. There aren't any here because we don't live in the Metro Detroit area. Well, they're all there.
They've all gone to the junkyard by now, right?
No.
I feel like everybody transferred in for
Jeremy.
They haven't rusted away.
No,
in Detroit?
Jeremy.
They're
Jeremy,
fiberglass.
Jeremy.
They're not rusty.
Jeremy. You have to come.
Oh, yeah.
We have.
The whole body is fiberglass.
All the body cladding.
Everything.
We have to go to Detroit. You don't understand.
I know.
There are so.
You know what?
You won't hear the exhaust note. You'll hear the suspension bottoming out.
Yes,
because they're all clapped out.
They're all clapped out.
You just hear the plastic, like,
the Impalas.
Because in Detroit, the highway, the fucking roads there are so bad.
All of the
so you won't hear the car coming. You'll hear the suspension company. Suspension.
It's so bad. It's so bad. And they're all tore up. No, Jeremy, like. If you want to see like American cars, like you've never seen them before, we must actually. You know what we should do? We should plan a trip to
what do you call it? The
Woodward Dream Cruise.
Woodward Dream Cruise.
Oh yeah, totally.
I've always wanted to go.
When is it? Summertime.
It's in two or three weeks. It's the same time as Car Week.
Maybe we should plan. Well, I got to go to Car Week.
No, you don't.
I'm volunteering at Pebble Beach.
Oh yeah, that's
this
right.
Year again?
Yeah.
So
I get
you?
To go for
nice.
Free.
Jeremy, you got to hook us up with that. Tell them.
Just all right. Yeah. Let me try and hook you up.
Don't Don't share it with the podcast.
There's actually what's going on right now is the Street Rod National Car Show in Louisville. That's supposed to be pretty
that
cool.
That sounds like fun. Yeah.
But yes, now we need to go to and see the cruising culture in the Detroit.
When we blow up and go viral, we should like do a trip around America doing podcasts at like all sorts different of different car events around the country.
I can't wait to go back to H2O, although it's not what it used to be. It's so much fun. Ugh, all the hot boys, all the burnouts, all the water. Anyway.
Man. Yeah.
But no, Radwood was very nice.
Let's talk about your new car.
Oh, yeah.
Lexus.
We have questions.
Questions.
It's a nice car.
We're so, not
what year?
But it's like, it's 180 degree from what you had before.
Yeah. So do tell. I previously had, I wouldn't say 180 degrees. So I previously had a 335.
With a big turbo.
With a big turbo, lots of mods, very fast.
And pops and crackles.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like a Supra.
Yeah, inline six.
Kind of was a Supra. Well, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I took some time to get a new car and recently purchased a 2022 Lexus IS350. It is white on white, and it's an F-Sport. What drove this decision? Necessity, really. Necessity. And I was originally looking for a different car,
What were you originally looking
for? I was originally going to get a GTR.
Nissan's.
I was going to get a Nissan GTR.
R35.
I was going to get an R35.
Yeah.
But with school, transitions at work, and a bunch of other things, it was not working out.
That's fair.
So we will get an R35 later, maybe in a year from now. But in the meantime,
That's another DUI car, too.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like people might have to drive GTR, like the early ones.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Because it was affordable, like, speed. It was really affordable speed.
Before used cars blew, like...
Yeah, blew, that was the car
that was, like, affordable speed, and people were doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry.
Keep going. No worries. So,
all right, well, so what are the specs on the...
The Lexus has a... it is a 2GR FKS 3.5-liter... naturally aspirated V6.
32 valve, right?
I don't know. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Something like that.
Independent throttle bodies.
No, it does not have ITB.
No, it doesn't? It sounds like it.
It's part of the F-Sport package.
It does sound like it has ITBs. No, it has one throttle body.
Six into one headers.
Six into one headers. No, actually, so that's funny. It is. It is a... Like the
kinda, right,
the header is like cast into the engine, so it's weird. It's 3-1, and the header, like the actual one that you take off, is just 4 bolts, and it's just this big rectangular pipe.
Fun fact.
Oh, I have not done any modifications to it yet.
When you do, take pictures of that.
It's a V6. It's not a straight six.
The header and the casting and.
I can show you like what it looks like.
It's kind of old school, huh?
Let me see. But anyway, no, so I got that car because it was readily available and it was really
6-speed automatic though, right?
8-speed.
Is it a ZF?
Yes, a ZF. No, it is not a ZF 8-speed because it doesn't shift super quick like a ZF 8-speed. It's not egregious, but it is not ZF 8-speed quick. But when you're on it, it's perfectly fine.
He just drove me in it. It's actually really nice.
Yeah.
It showed us a picture. The V6 sounds like, I think it's the same motor as the Lotus Emira motor.
It's slightly different. I think they kind of
different heads. Different heads and stuff. Sure,
you can see what it looks like here. The exhaust kind of style. I know we got a lot of glare going on. Oh goodness!
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there's like a big rectangular pipe, four volts. All
right.
Make
it easy to take apart to modify.
Oh. That's kind of goofy.
Yeah.
All right. That's easy. I mean, it's simple. Toyota is probably for MB8, like,
GRFKS.
To reduce rattles and things like that, or like try to simplify parts.
See if we can find like.
And your car's made in Japan, right?
It is made in Japan.
Yeah.
That is like one of the original kind of.
Quality control was like little, like they would examine the car like every. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Body panel, every, mechanical thing.
But yeah.
Remember the Lexus, maybe it was a long time ago. There was a Lexus ad where they like ran a ball bearing down all of the.
Yes, joints. I do remember this.
I love all the different Lexus ads.
They're very fun.
They're fun, but they're also super cliche too. Mm-hmm. One of my I think favorite ones was the car was on a rolling
the LS500. I was just thinking about this one. Yeah.
It has like the champagne glasses on it.
Yes, yeah. Or whatever. All stacked up on the hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the car's just like running perfectly and. Of course,
I think they hit like 100 and something miles an hour, and it's like totally stable.
And there's some like British voice actor, like, "Ooh, even the Lexus LS500 can." What it's just like some cliche thing or whatever.
But yeah, so I ended up with this, and I had like other options that I could have went with, but at the end of the day, I was like, I want something that I can drive mm-hmm. quickly mm-hmm. and it'd be reliable and mm-hmm. fun
it's
for scoots. Right now until
it's scoots.
Until yeah. I finish school.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know,
it's plenty of room, super comfortable.
Yeah.
Like handles surprisingly yeah, really,
really
well. Yeah,
it handles really, really well. The one thing that I kind of noticed that was cool is you kind of see this in like certain sports cars and something like that is the angle, like the geometry of like the front. It is like a wishbone setup.
Mm-hmm.
So like the geometry of it is very different than the BMW. BMW is very upright McPherson style strut.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes into the wheel carrier.
Yep.
This one, it's bolted to the bottom of the wheel carrier. Yeah. And the actual like dampers are like, they look like this. They're very inboard, you know, on the car. So
a little sports car ish.
Yeah. So the front end,
I mean, the whole chassis line, right? Cause mm-hmm. They had a coupe version too.
Yeah,
that, obviously the four-door version. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so like the RC and stuff like that is probably similar. And then yeah. as a multi-link rear like any other, you know, car with the split kind of like coil and damper.
Yeah.
But overall, I was really worried because I came out of such a fast car and I was like, I'm going to miss having a fast car. And I do...
It's plenty fast.
Like a little bit, but it's plenty fast. Like we were up in the canyons today and it was really a really great yeah. canyon car.
Well, exactly. I mean, you can't really use a fast car in the canyons, can you? Right?
I mean, you could, but you just... Did I show you the picture of the car that spun out? Not in front of me. An Alfa Romeo 4C. I'm not going to name who it was, but it was bad.
Already did.
It was really, really bad. But it was wet out there. Oh, I had the slowdown.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just behind me because I went like a couple minutes ahead of him. But no, it was very damp.
You know, our buddy Mike Mitchell is always warning us against
going driving. Well, because Gabe destroyed so many. Well, not so many cars. He destroyed one car up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they go up there a lot in risky conditions.
I think it spun out. And
yeah, he definitely spun out.
Yeah.
Because he was coming...
That sucks.
He was either coming up or... I can't figure it out.
I don't think I saw him come past me. No.
Or somebody who's...
Somebody well who knows of a knows, a friend of a friend of a friend kind of thing.
Well, I know who it is. I
assume he was okay.
Yeah, I saw him. He was on the phone. I'm like, are you okay?
Oh, okay,
he's like,
good.
Yeah, I'm fine.
But yeah. I'm fine. I'm just... My ego's bruised. And I'm pissed because my car's broken. Mm-hmm.
And he broke somebody up. Like, there was a G-Wagon pulling a horse... like carriage thing or whatever.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The G wagon.
Was the horse okay?
Hopefully.
I hope so.
Like screw the people.
No, like the trailer was still upright. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was that either he spun out, this person spun out and then slammed against either the G wagon truck. Cause there was another Tesla that was also, their front end was messed up too.
Oh.
So what I'm assuming is that how it happened was the Alpha spun and then basically like, you know, spun and then drifted into the other lane.
Mm-hmm.
And the G-Wagon's rear, try to avoid it, and then the rear driver's side rear wheel is, like, turned. It's, like, the other way around.
Man. Yeah,
yeah, it's, like, snapped off the axle. And then the trailer's left-hand side wheels, like, two or three of them are all mangled. And then the Tesla that was, like, parked out of the way, their front was messed up too. So that
you
had to
just
happen.
Hope everybody was okay.
This is kind of a tangent.
I warn people about Alfa Romeo 4Cs. Like it's relatively cheap, fast, fun, right? It's entry level supercar, whatever. It's got a four banger turbo.
Yeah,
it comes
just
in late
for
the
first time.
The power
recently.
Comes in super late. It's like there's a ton of turbo lag.
Mid engined, right?
Mid engine.
Yeah.
The problem is it's super, super short wheelbase, but it's kind of wide.
Yeah.
And dynamically, I don't think it was really set up that well. And it's like a top. It like literally will spin like a top at the limit.
So what I noticed is that
it's got manual. It's got
very stable until it's not.
There's no power steering.
Well, you know
there's no power steering in the car.
So
the brakes suck.
They're kind of
rough. The brakes aren't great.
I drove one of our buddies.
Way under tired.
He let me drive his last weekend, and I just was on the. I did like the freeway on ramp and like the highway, and I was driving.
It trams like crazy too. And
But
like they're like a find a running road, and you're like,
yeah. But what was weird about it is that it's almost like because there's no weight to it, and with everything,
carbon tub.
You're just kind of like, you just feel like you're just floating.
Yeah.
There's very scary.
On the highway, there was like no confidence that I'm like glued to the road.
Ooh.
So, but yeah, anyway, back to the Lexus. But it's been cool. It's cool. No, it's really nice. It's very comfortable for a kind of like sports sedan. It's good. And everybody's like, well, why didn't you get an IS500? And I was like, because they're too darn expensive right now.
Not that many of them on the road either.
I didn't even know they made an IS500.
Yeah. Instead of making an ISF, they just put the 5 liter in the IS. Okay. They gave it.
That's got ITBs.
Does it?
It's got individual throttle bodies. It sounds like the old M5.
It has its own premium, but also what's really weird, my only qualm with this Lexus is that it is not good on gas. I am averaging.
I'm surprised about
19 miles per gallon.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
I felt like the V6 was at least efficient because it's got like the Toyota VVT-i.
Yeah, you know, it has
like
all of that stuff.
Valve timing.
And I'm not.
It doesn't have anything to do with your foot.
I'm not dogging it all the time, no. Because it's a very like take it to red line kind of car because there is no turbo. Yeah, you know, all the power's up top, which I've actually been enjoying that driving style. Plus, the induction sound on it is really good. It's just not super fuel efficient. The BMW is very fuel efficient.
Just stop. So you're telling me that like the people that buy it, because it's the same motor in like the Toyota Camry LE or Avalon.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me that the people that buy that car, they're not looking at the gas mileage.
There's no turbo. The power's all up top, so you gotta keep it opened up.
Right. It says it's averaging 19 miles per gallon, but. To give you like a metric, so I filled up on Friday last week, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a 17.
Like 16, 17 gallon fuel tank.
Okay.
So filled up on Friday last week. I drove to work.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Home. So that's 40 miles.
Oh, okay. 40 miles.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Okay. Good total.
Then I drove to Radwood and back. So that was from here to San Jose.
That's a good long haul.
Then I drove to church on Sunday, which is Mountain View, and back.
Oh, Mountain View. That's a good long haul.
Then I drove to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drove to work. So I drove to work Monday, Tuesday, drove a work car on Wednesday, and then ended up filling it up on Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday evening before I went home.
More than 19 miles per gallon.
How many miles did you drive?
I have to track it. I have to actually track it. But
I think it's more than 19.
Yeah, I think it might be doing more than 19.
Because it's also just a prediction too, right?
Yeah.
That's the prediction.
So then I ended up filling up like just Thursday. And it's...
You're getting way better than my F80 M3.
Yeah, it's probably doing like 350 miles a tank, which is fine. That's pretty much what the BMW is doing. I think the BMW was just overestimating when I would drive lighter because you would fill it up and you'd be like, yeah, you got 440 miles still empty. And I'm like, I don't know about all of that. Plus the gas gauge shape is, so it has like a digital gauge versus the 335 had like an analog gauge and it was just a bigger gauge.
Yeah.
So like the bigger gauge just is kind of deceiving because you're kind of like, oh yeah, I got gas for days.
No, the BMW, like the reserve tank monitor or whatever, it's like, oh no, you only have like, I have driven that car to like, it's starting to sputter or whatever. Like it says,
oh no,
like 80 miles to the reserve.
Yeah.
I drove that thing down to like 1 mile left and it was still going. Yeah. Like it was still, you know,
it's been that fuel.
Here's a warning, not to change the subject, but related.
Uh-huh.
So James got a new car.
James did get a
new car. Oh, yes, Ioniq 5.
Yeah. Ioniq 5. So electric, not ICE, right?
Yeah.
But you run the energy down in the Ioniq 5 as well. When you get below 15%, state of charge in the battery,
uh-huh.
Degradates?
It will no longer keep the 12 volt charged.
Oh, also it turns the alternator off.
And are you serious?
That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, it to protect the state of charge of the big battery, if you leave it parked at 15%, it's not going to charge the 12 volt. And that's where we got in trouble in ours with the unauthorized app updates.
Oh my God.
And it killed the 12 volt.
Well, yeah, because it's okay. Like, I got to run the juice at night, but it really shouldn't be running the juice at night.
But it'll sit there at 15% by itself for a good long while with, you know, it's not going to like move or lose.
Well, because technically, let's talk about it. Gas cars are doing the same thing. Because when the car is off, the alternator is off. So the battery isn't charging.
That's why a lot of like exotic sports cars drain.
Yeah, but there's nothing draining the battery.
But technically, right? in an electric car, it shouldn't be doing anything at night anywhere. Like you said, except for it's doing an over-the-air update.
I mean,
right?
All cars are always kind of
on.
Kind of on.
Somewhat.
You know, they're alive.
There's
to some
extent.
Well, trust me, I've done a lot of this research.
Yeah,
but
you probably know better than
all
of us.
Well, because the thing is that like on a bad day, I want to say on a bad day, one of our cars is pulling.
Yeah, when it goes to sleep, how much current does it pull? A few milliamps?
Yeah, like nothing. Like 0.01.
Well, it's got to keep time.
Is it the same? Yeah,
it's yes,
got
to keep time.
It's very low. Have to be alive for...
Some GPS stuff.
Right, well,
like remote like unlock, remote.
Yeah. Yeah, but all of those are low energy. Really low energy.
Yeah, sure.
Is it the same for ICE versus EV?
Like, yes, it's almost identical.
Sleep current draw?
Yeah, almost identical. And the EVs are better because... Like you said, at a certain level, at night, if they feel like the 12 volt is getting low, they'll just charge themselves.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the Ioniq will do that. There's
it will
a little
kick on
the
high voltage battery.
It'll drain the high voltage battery to charge the 12 volt.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the state of charge of the high voltage battery
it's
is
so
like
low.
50% or less.
So, do we want to move on to my subject of the Hyundai Ioniq?
Yeah, let's talk about your
Ioniq 5. So this is the very first... EV I've ever owned.
Yeah,
right? You wow. Run them. You don't own one,
but I drive them a lot.
You drive them a lot. Yeah. You own an Ioniq 5.
Also,
but what year
early,
is yours?
2022. It's an early one.
Oh, it's an early one. Okay. Yeah. Was that the first year of it? No.
It was
the second year.
I think they started
21, right?
Yeah, they started delivering them in 21. I don't know if they were 21 model year or they were. I think they were 22 model year.
So my car is a brand new one. It's 2025. It uses the NACS plug.
North American Charging Standard.
The same one as Tesla's
is that
they use.
It stands for? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. North America.
When did they switch to NACS?
Charging
25.
Standard. All everybody right is going to be on.
Yeah.
Everybody's
right.
Yeah.
Eventually.
I mean,
so.
But all what's funny is a lot of the superchargers that I can use are still CCS.
Yeah, so a lot of the car companies now that are moving to NACS haven't necessarily done so natively yet. They've gotten access via adapters.
Because
it takes time to...
But even, yeah.
But the Ioniq 5 is one of the early cars that has...
just switched.
Adopted native NACS.
And
in the
also,
car.
And I've read this...
Lucid Gravity is
so
the same.
Technically... Hyundai has an agreement with Tesla that I can technically use Tesla superchargers.
Yes.
I tried doing it. I had the Tesla app. I'm new to all this stuff, man.
We're going to have to help you out.
Like,
yeah.
I was sweating. So I bought the car literally about a week ago, and I do my first escapade. I'm like, okay, it was only down to maybe 70%. So I have EV range anxiety.
Yeah.
This is my first
You'll
EV car.
You'll get past that.
You're going to be on like 1% like me. We'll make it.
It was at a 280 mile range. It got down to like 200. I'm like, oh, I need to recharge. I got to recharge this. I must find. So I'm like, well, I read up. Okay. And the dealer told me, like, oh, you can use Tesla chargers. I'm like, great.
Yep.
I live in San Francisco. There's Tesla chargers everywhere.
Yep.
Boom. I'm off to the races. So I'm like, dee, 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 dee. So I drive to my nearest Tesla supercharger. I see all the Teslas. I'm like, wow, I'm like so new to this. Like, what do I do? And so I back into my little spot and I.
Yeah, your charge port's in the wrong spot.
Right. That
part
two.
Problem number one.
Yeah, so all these Tesla people are like looking
at
me
all
weird or whatever.
Yeah, because you're taking the wrong parking spot.
I know.
Spot. Yeah,
so originally I tried using the 250 kilowatt hour charger, plugged it in, nothing happened. So the Hyundai gave me an error, like not connecting or like no connection or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
or
what
network
the F?
Error. Yeah.
So I tried to go to the 350 kilowatt one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the one that had a scannable barcode.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I could pay for it, your non-Tesla car, pay for it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did it work?
No. It gave me an error.
Mm-hmm.
So then I looked up on the Tesla, like the Hyundai app or whatever, and it showed me that there were six available chargers. They were the 8 kilowatt ones, or 6 kilowatt hour chargers. That's these like lower power ones.
Yeah, so the destination charger, the AC.
Yeah, it's basically AC. So I plugged it in.
That's true.
And for me to go to like max 300 or whatever, it would take 8.5 hours.
You're gonna have to read the fine print on that.
Yeah, I think you should have access to the supercharger network,
right?
It's because the Ioniq's on an 800 volt platform, and
there's only certain superchargers that can do it.
Yeah, so the V4 superchargers are 1000 volt. Those haven't been deployed very widely yet. So most of them are V3.
But where is it on PlugShare then?
You should be able to use a V3 supercharger because the Ioniq 5 can boost charge through its rear traction inverter. So it'll give you like 100 kilowatts.
It gave me like literally. Like it gave me an error for the QR code.
The car like won't work. When I plug in one of my like work cars, and it shoots all the way up to like 270. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. So, let's be clear on why that happens and why you can do that. Let's geek out on charging speeds for a minute. Mm-hmm. So if you go to EA with your Ioniq 5 and plug into a 350 kilowatt charger,
Electrify America.
Electrify America. EA. If it works,
which is questionable. Hold on, my Electrify America chargers work great.
Okay, yours maybe, but a lot of them don't. But if it works,
no. Every time I go to one, I've been to them all over the country. Right, I've never had a problem with an EA charger.
What kind of electric vehicles are you driving to EA?
Let me tell you,
are they Volkswagen Audi Group products?
They are, but that doesn't mean anything.
Well, who owns EA?
Volkswagen Audi Group. That doesn't make it any better.
All right.
I'm telling you.
So when it does work, the Ioniq 5 is capable of, I think, up to like 235 kilowatts.
Mm-hmm.
At a Tesla supercharger, at a V3 supercharger, you're only going to get 100 kilowatts because it has to boost charge because it's a 400-volt charger, not an 800-volt charger.
Okay.
But
100 is still nice.
The Volkswagen Audi Group products, except for like the Taycan, they're all 400-volt, aren't they?
No.
No?
I'm pretty sure they're on 800 volt.
There's no Electrify America.
Well, like the ID4s are not.
Not that. No, not an ID4. I'm talking about the Audi products.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Anyways, so my experience with the car has been very positive so far. It drives great. You know, it's an SUV.
I kind of described it when we got ours. Like, it had unbelievable acceleration, but would go around a corner like my grandparents' Crown Vic.
It kind of drives like a sofa. Yeah. It's a little floaty, but it's controllable.
It's controllable
because
floaty.
The battery, you know, like typical EVs, most of the time the battery is
the center of gravity
really
is so low.
So I'm like, I'm kind of hooning this thing around. I'm like whipping. I'm doing some dangerous maneuvers with this car.
Yeah.
And the power is just so accessible, so easy. So I've been pretty happy with it.
And your brakes will last forever.
And
Of the regenerative
braking? Yeah.
And I feel like if I have it on so I know how to one pedal drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only problem is people in the passenger seat aren't quite used to that.
Yeah, I'm used to it, right?
My brain is already like switched into I'm going to be jerking around mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem is for other people in the car, it's a little bit
rash. It's an art.
So my Audi does this very well. I don't like one pedal driving, but I have paddle shifters and I use my paddle shifters to control regen. So
Ioniq's the same way.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Any car that does that, I really like that. Cause you can control like how much one pedal you want to do.
Yeah.
Sure.
So if I'm on the highway and I'm like, okay, I don't want to be every time I lift off the gas, I don't want to.
Yeah. You don't
want to
jerk forward.
Right. So I can pull like the left pedal, how many ever levels of regen, right? So like slow.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I want to go fast again. So like right pedal, like fast while I'm accelerating, so that when I lift off the accelerator again, it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, I like it.
I play this game with myself. It's like how much in the blue the charging portion can I get?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm just like gunning it, and then I'm like decelerating a ton. I'm like, can I recoup? Can I like rewind? Can I like actually make power?
Yeah,
I technically could, right? Yeah. If I'm downhill the whole time.
Oh yeah.
I can make power.
And just
right?
generate.
Do like my wife does: roll the windows up, turn the AC off, and draft off of a Prius, and you'll get like 5 miles per kilowatt out.
She's hyper-miling.
She's hyper-miling.
I don't know if it's that serious for me, but
I'm lucky because where I live in San Francisco, there's actually a new Shell recharger.
Oh, that's
fun. These are 350 kilowatt hour, 12 of them.
Nice.
On 19th in Kirkham, And that's where, so I have an adapter that will go from whatever, CCS,
yeah.
CCS 1 into to NACS,
NACS. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm getting, if this sounds correct, it charges at 80 kilowatts an hour.
Okay, that's
so. Not, I'm going from.
No, that's slow.
That's slow.
Is that slow?
You should, or, you should be getting 200? Max like 235, and then as
is
the battery.
Is it stepping me down then, or like why is it doing?
Well, it depends. It also depends on the state
battery,
of charge,
right? So again,
if you're
above 80%, yeah, because I was above
80%.
It won't do it. I was above like 50%.
Yeah, it won't fast charge.
It's only if like it's at like 20.
Yeah.
To whatever.
Yeah, it'll start out real high, and then it'll taper off.
It'll man.
But when it gets to 80, it'll tank.
I love that sound.
Yeah, that's normal.
I hear my click click.
The contactors click.
Yeah, and then
does yours say charging started?
Yeah.
Like surreal voice.
I wish it was say it in Korean.
I'm sure you can make that happen.
Yeah. Awesome. So far I've been pretty happy with Ioniq 5. I got a really good lease deal.
The EVs are leasing good.
They're leasing.
If you need a new car,
a lot of car dealerships or the dealership network that's not Tesla,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even Tesla too,
they're very
afraid of the Trump the rebates being taken away.
Yes.
Yeah.
The current administration.
Yeah. So a lot of people are but they're not manufacturer incentive. It's just the dealership themselves are just throwing these cars out.
Like, they have to. I mean, Mercedes decided to.
Can I tell you something? The Hyundai of San Bruno, the Sears that used to be there.
Yeah.
Tad Friend.
This isn't a plug for Hyundai.
It's a dealership.
Bruno. Yeah, yeah.
Brought to you by Hyundai of San Bruno, the number one place to get your Hyundai from.
Yay,
Hyundai. Anyways, they have a really good Santa Fe deal going, like $250
a
month.
Ooh, but the new Santa Fe is really funky, and I like it.
The interiors are really nice on those.
Yeah, they're really nice. Anyways, so this dealership has 500 Ioniqs. For sale.
Wow.
500. And they're trying to get, I asked the dealer, or I asked the car salesman that I was dealing with that day when I picked up the car. I was like, how many of these have you sold? He's like, we've done 10 a day, 14 a day.
That's sick.
That's.
They're just trying to, they're like,
amazing.
Get them out of
they
here.
They got to offload them. They got rid of those things.
I mean, we had to, I reserved ours 8 weeks in advance. When we bought it, because I needed
it. It's a hot car. I mean, it was a cool looking car.
This was in 2022 when their availability was
right. Start.
There are all sorts of issues, right? Yeah,
right.
So when I landed here from Germany, I walked off the plane, got my bags, got in an Uber, and went to Hyundai, the capital Hyundai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rolled in with my suitcases. I'm like, all right, I'm here to sign and drive.
Oh, right.
That's crazy.
And I drove out with the car.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. EV lease deals are abundant.
What should I get
next?
After my two year lease, it's a 12,000 miles per year, so 24,000 miles all in.
What would be available?
What would be like? Oh, should I get another Ioniq 5 or
get a Lucid Air?
Lucid Air.
I happen to like those.
Yeah. Are they gonna?
You should get an Audi.
Q6. What about isn't the Rivian R2 gonna come out?
Oh yeah.
You can. Yes, you can buy one of those, James. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
R2 or R3X?
R3X maybe. Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Dude, that car
That'd be
looks
hot.
So
and
hot.
Actually, the R3X, the shape of the R3X is probably the closest in like form factor to the Ioniq 5 of any EV right now.
Oh, yeah. Is it gonna be the same size then? It looks smaller.
Well, so there's the R3 and then the R3X.
But that like kind of.
I like that
almost
look.
Small compact SUV. Yeah,
I like that look.
Yes,
like
Rivian.
Look.
Yes,
but the Ioniq is enormous inside. You can put an enormous amount of shit in it.
Yeah, it's very like we were looking at we were watching this girl park as we were comparing like we were talking about the Ioniq 5 is not a small car.
It's not a small car.
When you look at it in pictures, you're like, oh, look at this little hot hatchback.
It looks like a hot hatchback.
It is a large.
It's ginormous.
it's a big boy.
Yeah, it's a large hatchback.
Its wheelbase is longer than a Palisade.
Are you serious? Really?
Yes.
Its wheelbase is longer than. But I feel like it's not as. Really, it's long?
Than a Palisade?
The wheelbase.
The wheelbase. But I'm thinking about a Palisade. That's like a full-size
SUV.
Full-size
SUV, yeah.
But the car's not a full-size SUV.
No, it's not. It just has like a really long wheelbase.
Well, because of the batteries, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
Because the wheels are literally at the ends.
Yeah, the ends.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
EVs. But, yeah, I think you should try, honestly, I want a Hummer EV. I want a Hummer EV so bad.
So
get something
so
efficient.
Big.
Not something that they just throw a bigger
what's
battery.
Efficient? What's efficient and fun? I don't want to get a Kia Niro. I don't want some S-Box.
The electric Mini Cooper.
Honda, whatever.
The electric Mini Cooper. The BMW i4 is actually...
I've been seeing the Lisios proper, in the BMW properly i4. Fun car. What about the iX? That thing's expensive, by the way. I didn't realize that was a $100,000 car.
Yes, a luxury car. Appearance is nice car.
You know, it's subjective, right?
IX is not a pretty car. It kind of
looks like moldy fruit.
I was going to say they're kind of fugly, but to each their own.
But it's really nice inside.
Yeah, like wonderful interior quality.
The materials are really nice. It's got a lot of tech. Mm-hmm. I guess the only thing about my Hyundai Ioniq, the trim level I got, which is the SEL, it's just, I wish I got the Limited.
Hey, tell me about it. We have the SE.
Oh, so you have the...
We got the base.
Poverty base. Spec. So it is steel wheel.
What do you get with the base? What's in the base?
It's still got like the big screens and the sat nav.
But you don't get...
And CarPlay. We do not have wireless CarPlay. We don't have... Inductive charging for your phone.
Oh, just... Yeah,
it's cloth upholstery. Head.
Okay.
We don't have the glass roof.
I don't have a roof.
Maybe that's a limited thing.
That's limited.
Yeah. But yeah, cloth upholstery.
What about the level 2, like the cruise control and...
Yeah, we got all that. Lane. Well, we don't have like ambient lighting or any of that stuff.
Oh, okay. I feel like the SEL is like one up from the SE.
Yeah.
I guess that's why it's called the SEL. It's like SE limited.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Rear-wheel drive.
We have to do the history of where all these trim level names came from.
Yeah.
Because everybody uses SEL. Yes, electric cars. Buy them.
Lease them. Don't buy
them. No. Lease them's the way to go.
Maybe they're just going to get better and better. Macan E?
Yeah, there you go. Buy one used. Yeah. Or lease one.
Lease one. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to get... The
new Taycan, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, the new Taycan?
Much better range than the original one, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The original range... That might be fun. The old Taycan was like 2-something. It wasn't...
Yeah, the new one's...
217.
I think pretty decent. And it's over 300, isn't it?
Yeah. It's good.
Oh, wow. But is that the 4S, though? Is that the...
No, I don't
know. The more... The more fast you get, the less battery range.
Yeah.
Really?
Typically. Yeah. Because you're going so fast.
Ooh, Taycan Cross Turismo. That's what I'd get.
Yeah, Matt Farah drove all the way to Michigan to get his. He flew to Michigan to buy it, and then he drove it all the way back. But no, the Taycan Cross Turismo is a gorgeous car.
It is.
One of the prettiest wagons on the market right now.
I agree. I would buy one of those. Or I would lease one of those.
Yeah. I mean, buy one used. Buy one used is a steal because it's a Porsche. Well, even it still... The only Porsche that depreciates like a rock is the Cayenne. That is the only Porsche does not hold value is the Cayenne. Even the Panamera.
I feel like the Panamera depreciates like a rock.
Yeah. I think because the Cayenne has been around for so long, and so has the Panamera, you just see much older ones now.
Why do they still sell the Panamera?
I thought they were discontinuing the Panamera.
Because people buy them.
Like several years ago, and they haven't. It's
no.
Still there.
So Jason Camisa did a drag race with the Porsche Panamera Turbo S Hybrid.
Turbo SE Hybrid.
And then what was the other comparison? It was like R6.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the only car that was not like hybrid assist or whatever. It was all at M5 Touring, I think, was there.
Mm-hmm.
What else was there? Was there another? There was like an EV that was there, right?
Probably.
Lucid.
It was the Gravity, was it not?
Yeah.
Dude, that Gravity kicked everybody's ass, man.
Yep.
I cannot wait for that car to come out.
It's out.
Oh, it's out?
You can buy one now.
I'll get one now.
Actually, in 2 years, you can get a lease back. And
what's the range? What's the range on the Gravity?
Up to 450 something.
Is that
so nice?
What trim levels are there for Gravity, or is it just Gravity?
So there's Touring, Grand Touring, and Dream Edition. I think right now you can get
Launch Edition.
The fancier, like the Dream Edition and Grand Touring.
Tri-motor, right? It's got three motors?
No, they're dual motor.
I want a quad motor Rivian R1S.
But the dual motor Gravity blew the quad motor R1S away.
Did it?
Yeah, I saw that.
I just like the R1S.
I like the R1S.
Well, no, because it pulled back. Didn't
yeah.
It?
Oh, maybe I did watch
no, the
this
quad,
one.
The quad motor, had, it the Rivian
pulled
back.
Oh, did it
B-rate?
Yeah.
Yes, it couldn't.
I think it hit its top speed or something. I mean, you wouldn't want a brick. doing 300 miles an hour.
You know, there were some German executives. A steel ball. There were some German executives like, we must not have it go that fast.
It's an American car company.
Oh, yeah. It's an American car company. Sure. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. There's no German influence on the car company whatsoever.
No, right? Not at all.
None.
Let me explain something to you. The $5 billion that...
is more than five.
Yes. But the initial... That was to create a brand new company. They are still very much individual companies. There is no...
And the Scout's not going to be any faster than the Rivian either, right?
I have no idea.
And the Scout's not just a rebadged Rivian R1S.
I have no idea.
No, it's not. Of course not. Sure, it looks like one. But what about the generator that's going to be stuck in the back?
The harvester motor?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I can't wait for that to come.
That's honestly, I'm so happy for that. Brick. That's like the i3. The i3 had a harvester motor.
Oh, i3 Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did?
Mm-hmm. Or it was an option.
It was like an extender.
I got one of my engineers just recently bought one. He sold a Cayman,
mm-hmm.
and he sold an E430. And bought, I think it's a 2019 i3 Rex.
Is he saying? Is he like, what's wrong
with
it?
Well, we tease him relentlessly. He says it's a carbon fiber supercar.
Sure.
Because it is carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber supercar?
Yeah. It's a joke.
And I'm Al Gore.
Yeah. Right.
I invented the internet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been nice catching up. Cars, EVs, new cars.
We should do it more often.
Jeremy, you should also get a new car. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Jeremy, I'm going to get a new car.
Yeah, James will get a new car eventually.
There's
I'm going to get a new car.
More hoarding car. On the front.
Maybe you should get rid of something and buy something nice.
Hoarding.
Well, I should definitely get rid of some, but one of our neighbors Mercedes. Down the street the has a Mark 6, I think, 2011.
Okay.
GTI.
Okay. That's a fun car.
It's a four-door.
Oh.
DSG. It's covered in bird shit. It hasn't moved in months because apparently it has a problem.
Oh, and dude, that's a steal.
The dealer said, well, it'll either be $5,000 or $10,000 and we won't know until we get into it.
Your wife told me.
And so my wife and I are like, we could, okay.
Your wife told me she wants a nice BMW wagon.
Yeah, well, it's because we were talking about the shitbox E30 convertible.
Yeah, she's like, get rid of that and get her a nice E30 like wagon or something.
I need to do something with the E30 convertible.
Get rid of it.
Well, probably get it running.
Put a roll cage in it and put an S58 motor in it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But and a get rag. Yeah, she started mentioning a Tremec. We had station speed. Wagons in Germany. And
you should get another one.
We should get another station wagon.
I love totally German station wagons.
Totally, yep. Totally.
Love German station
get
wagons.
Get like a 335D wagon.
That'd
sick.
Be cool.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking E34 wagon, but I haven't talked to you about
the diesels are really good.
Yeah, diesels are good.
I'm pretty
idea.
Sure you can get a... I don't know if you can get a manual. Manual 335D, that would be
like I think you can.
Unicorn. Ideal.
Yeah,
I think you can. I think you can find one.
But
I don't know if they exist, but
that sounds expensive. Do. Like my favorite cars are the $1,500 projects, right?
Yeah.
My S class is probably one of my favorite cars, except when I'm underneath it covered in oil.
And yeah, I wouldn't be my favorite
then
car
I'm
then either.
Cussing it and like, why do I work on this stupid pile of shit? Then I drive it again and it becomes one of my favorites.
No.
It's a fun car.
Anyway.
Well, hopefully next time we'll have. Hopefully there'll be an earlier next time. We'll have
something
to talk about.
Sorry for the delay.
Now that everybody's life is finally calming down. But yes, this has been the Mischiefs Podcast.
Brought to you by Ghost Energy.
Hopefully. Sponsor us.
I'm talking about them. We'll all drink.
I'll just at them. Be like, all drink your energy drink if you like blast our podcast.
Into space.
In the space. All right. It's been fun, guys. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.